Welcome to another deep dive, everybody. Today, we're going to be exploring something that's causing a real buzz in higher education.
Yeah, it's...
It's called Meraki, Towards Transformative Learning and Teaching in Higher Education.
Definitely shaking things up.
Big title, big ideas.
Yeah, and not like your typical textbook either.
Right. I mean, how often do you see a book that's part academic analysis, part open invitation?
That's Christina Ranci for you, the author.
Total champion for open education, right.
Yeah.
So the first part of the book, it's like this awesome collection of articles, all exploring ways to make teaching more creative, more engaging.
And then part two, wide open. Anyone can contribute.
Think about that for a second, listeners. You could be part of shaping the future of higher education. That's the kind of energy Narancy's bringing to the table.
And the thread that ties it all together, this concept of Meraki.
Okay, gotta admit, when I first saw that word Meraki, I was like, huh, what's that all about?
It's Greek. Basically means putting your heart and soul into whatever you do.
Like not just going through the motions, but really truly caring about the work.
Spot on. It's about passion, purpose, that extra oomph that takes something from good to extraordinary.
So in the context of education, Meraki is what? Like teachers being totally invested in their students, students being lit up by what they're learning.
Yeah, picture a classroom buzzing with that kind of energy.
Makes you think about those moments when you were truly inspired by a teacher or a subject, right?
Absolutely. It's about tapping into that deep well of passion.
And making it the driving force in education.
Now, speaking of passion, Narancy has this thing she calls her personal creativity manifesto.
Okay, tell me more. This sounds intriguing.
It's like her own personal guide to being creative. And it's all about openness, collaboration, pushing those boundaries.
Definitely fits with the open education vibe, doesn't it?
For sure.
But sometimes pushing boundaries can be a little, I don't know, unnerving.
It's about finding that sweet spot between structure and freedom.
And speaking of freedom, that's where this idea of free-range learning comes in, which, I gotta say, sounds a little wild.
Well, think of it less like a free-for-all, more like giving students more agency in their learning.
Agency, okay. So not just following a rigid path, but having some choice in the direction.
Right, like think of those choose your own adventure books.
Ah, those were the best.
You got to make decisions that shape the story.
Yeah, it made you feel like you were really in control.
That's the kind of feeling Narancy's talking about with free range learning.
Okay, I'm starting to see how all these pieces fit together.
It's about empowering students to be active participants in their learning.
So how would this look in a real classroom? I mean, wouldn't students just be totally lost without some guidance?
Well, that's where the teacher's role becomes even more crucial. It's about scaffolding.
Scaffolding, huh?
You know, providing support, offering choices, but making sure students don't feel overwhelmed.
Okay, so not just throwing them in the deep end and saying, swim.
More like, here's a map, here are some tools, now go explore.
Now that makes a lot more sense.
It's about finding that balance.
I remember back in college, I had this professor who, what was his name? Anyway, he did this really cool thing with our final papers.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of assigning us topics, he let us choose our own research questions.
Wow, that's bold.
Oh, it was terrifying at first, I'll tell you. But you know what? I ended up doing some of my best work in that class.
Why do you think that was?
Well, because I was actually invested in what I was learning. I chose it. It wasn't just another assignment. It was something I genuinely cared about.
Exactly. And that's the magic of free-range learning.
When you're passionate about something, the learning just flows so much easier, right?
Totally. And you know what else makes learning easier? Embracing those inevitable mistakes.
Yeah, those oops moments that make you want to crawl under a desk and hide.
Exactly. But Narancy says, we got to flip the script on that.
Okay, how do we do that?
We start by viewing mistakes not as failures, but as opportunities, stepping stones on the path to mastery.
So instead of beating ourselves up over a misstep, we ask, okay, what can I learn from this?
Yeah, it's about shifting from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset.
It's like that saying, you know, fall down 7 times, stand up 8.
Love that.
Yeah.
And Narancy takes it even further with this concept of possibility thinking.
Possibility thinking. Never heard of that one.
It's all about cultivating a mindset of curiosity, constantly asking, what if?
Like, what if I try this? What if I approach it from a different angle?
Exactly. And it's not just for students, it's for all of us.
I think that's so important because so often we get stuck in our routines, our ways of doing things.
Yeah, we get comfortable and comfort can be the enemy of growth.
Oh, that's good. I'm writing that one down.
So challenge yourself to ask more what if questions. See where it takes you.
Let me think. Oh, I remember when I was working on this design project, I was totally stuck hitting a wall.
Ugh, we've all been there.
And I finally just said to myself, what if I scrap this whole thing and start over with a completely different approach?
What happened?
It was scary. But it ended up being the best decision because it led to this much more innovative solution, one I never would have come up with if I'd stayed stuck in my old ways of thinking.
That's the power of possibility thinking in action. It's about breaking free from those limitations.
And speaking of breaking free, that brings us to another big topic Narancy tackles. Rethinking assessment in the age of, what is it?
Gen AI. Yeah, the AI wave is hitting education hard.
Honestly, when I first heard about AI writing essays, I was a little freaked out.
I get it. It's a whole new world.
But Narancy challenges us to look beyond just the, oh no, robots are taking over reaction.
She asks us to really consider the purpose of assessment. What are we actually trying to measure? Are our methods still effective in this new landscape?
Right. It's not about like banning AI from the classroom or anything.
It's about having those tough conversations and figuring out how to use AI in a way that actually enhances learning.
Like, what are the opportunities here?
Exactly. For example, she talks about this idea of renewable assignments.
Renewable assignments.
Imagine assignments that can be updated and reused, encouraging students to think about how knowledge evolves over time.
Okay, that's pretty cool. But how would that actually work?
Well, let's say you're teaching history, right? Instead of having students write a traditional paper on, say, the French Revolution, you could have them create a digital timeline of the event.
Oh, I like that.
They could use AI to gather information and even generate some content, but they'd still be responsible for curating, analyzing, and presenting that information in a meaningful way.
And the best part is, the timeline could be constantly updated as new research emerges.
It becomes a living document, a testament to how knowledge is always evolving.
And it teaches students to be critical consumers of information, to question what they're reading, and to think about multiple perspectives.
That's so key in this age of misinformation.
Speaking of cool ways to document learning, we got to talk about Narancy's take on digital portfolios.
Oh, yes, those flying containers with open windows.
I love that metaphor. It's so vivid, so evocative.
It really captures the essence of what a digital portfolio can be, this dynamic space where students can showcase their learning journey.
It's like more than just a collection of finished assignments, right?
It's a curated record of their growth, their skills, their experiences.
And the great thing is, it's not limited to just academic stuff. You can include internships, volunteer work, personal projects, anything that demonstrates your passions and abilities.
It becomes this amazing tool for self-reflection and for sharing your unique story with the world.
I wish I had started one back in college. It would be so cool to look back on now and see how far I've come.
It's never too late to start.
True, true. Well, as we wrap up this first part of our deep dive into Meraki, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on what Narancy has to say about Gen AI.
It's a topic that's definitely causing some anxiety, especially in education.
Yeah, it feels like this big unknown force that's changing everything so fast.
But Narancy encourages us to approach it with a sense of curiosity rather than fear.
Easier said than done, right?
Yeah.
I know. But she reminds us that technology should ultimately serve human needs, not the other way around.
It's about finding ways to use Gen AI to enhance learning and teaching, not to replace those essential human connections.
Exactly. And that's what we'll be exploring in more detail in the next part of our deep dive.
Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back after a short break.
So where were we? Ah, yes, Gen AI in education.
Yeah, it's a big one. Lots to unpack.
Definitely. Narancy really emphasizes this idea of responsible AI use, you know?
Responsible? What does that look like in practice?
It's about having those open discussions, setting clear guidelines for both teachers and students.
Right, because let's be real, there's going to be some apprehensions, some folks who are hesitant to even dip their toes into the AI pool.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But Narancy argues that we can't just ignore it. We got to engage with it, figure out how to make it work for us.
And that means addressing those ethical concerns head on?
Absolutely. Privacy, data ownership, all that good stuff.
It's like teaching digital citizenship, but on a whole new level.
Right. Because AI isn't just some abstract concept anymore. It's woven into the fabric of our lives.
And that includes education, like it or not.
Exactly. So how do we navigate this new terrain? Well, Narancy reminds us that technology should ultimately serve human needs, not the other way around.
I like that, keeping the focus on the human element.
It's about finding ways to use AI to enhance learning and teaching, not to replace those essential human connections.
So not just throwing technology at a problem and hoping for the best.
More like being intentional, asking ourselves, how can AI help us achieve our goals in a way that's ethical, equitable, and effective?
Okay, that makes sense. But how do we ensure that those human connections don't get lost in this increasingly digital world?
That's where the power of conversations and feedback comes in, something Ransi talks a lot about in the book.
Yes, because at the end of the day, learning is a social process, right?
For sure. We learn best when we're interacting with others, sharing ideas, getting feedback.
But feedback can be tricky, you know? Sometimes it feels like this one-way street, the teacher giving the student a grade, and that's it.
Yeah, the traditional model can be pretty limited.
Ransi suggests we shift from this one-way feedback to more of a dialogic approach.
Dialogic. Okay, break that down for me.
It's about creating feedback partnerships where students are actively involved in the process.
So not just receiving feedback, but also giving feedback, reflecting on their own work, and seeking feedback from multiple sources.
It becomes this multifaceted conversation, a true exchange of ideas.
Exactly. And, you know, AI can actually play a really cool role in this.
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. AI could be used to provide personalized feedback to each student, tailored to their specific needs and learning styles.
That's amazing. And it frees up the teacher to focus on those more in-depth conversations, the kind that really spark critical thinking and deeper understanding.
Now, of course, no conversation about Gen AI in education would be complete without addressing the elephant in the room.
The fear of cheating.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah.
But Ransi urges us to move beyond this fear-based narrative.
Okay. Easier said than done, right? I mean, it's natural to worry about students using AI to take shortcuts or plagiarize.
Of course. But we also have to remember that most students are inherently motivated to learn.
They want to succeed. They want to do well.
Exactly. And if we create a learning environment that's engaging and relevant, that values creativity and critical thinking, then students are less likely to feel the need to cheat in the first place.
It's about building trust and fostering a sense of ownership over their learning.
Right. And instead of trying to police AI use, we should be teaching students how to use it responsibly, how to leverage it as a tool for learning, not a crutch.
It's all about AI literacy, right?
Absolutely. Empowering students to navigate this new world with confidence and integrity.
Now, speaking of empowering students, Ransi has some pretty radical ideas about collaboration and sharing in higher education.
She's a huge proponent of open educational practices, this idea of making educational resources freely available to everyone.
Which aligns perfectly with her whole Meraki philosophy, doesn't it? Sharing your knowledge and passion with the world.
It's about breaking down those silos, those barriers that can sometimes exist between institutions and even between individual educators.
It's like that saying, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats.
Exactly. When we share openly, we create this incredible network of knowledge and support that benefits everyone.
But I imagine there's some resistance to this idea, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Some educators are hesitant to share their teaching materials, their ideas.
It's like giving away your secret sauce.
Yeah, I get it. But Ransi argues that the benefits of sharing far outweigh the risks.
How so?
When we share openly, we create this feedback loop, a continuous cycle of learning and improvement.
It's like instead of everyone reinventing the wheel, we're all working together to build a better one.
Exactly. And imagine the impact this could have on students. Access to high-quality learning materials, no matter where they are or what their background is.
It's a pretty powerful vision.
And she offers some really practical advice for overcoming that fear of sharing.
Like what?
Start small, she says. Share a single lesson plan. Collaborate with a colleague on a project. Join a community of practice.
It's about taking those baby steps, building confidence, and experiencing the power of collaboration firsthand. Okay, that's encouraging. It doesn't have to be this all or nothing leap into the unknown.
Exactly. It's about finding your comfort zone and gradually expanding it.
And who knows, maybe along the way you'll discover that sharing your knowledge is actually more rewarding than keeping it to yourself.
It's about embracing that Meraki spirit, that passion for learning, and that willingness to share it with others.
So as we move into the final part of our deep dive into Meraki, what are some key takeaways you think our listeners should keep in mind?
I think the biggest takeaway is this. We're at a pivotal moment in education. Technology is rapidly changing the landscape, and it's easy to feel overwhelmed or even threatened by those changes.
Yeah, it can feel like we're all just trying to keep up.
But Ransi reminds us to focus on the human element. Learning is about connection, curiosity, and growth. And technology, including AI, should be a tool that empowers us to achieve those goals.
Beautifully said. And remember, this book is an ongoing conversation. Naranci invites everyone to contribute their own ideas and experiences to the second part of Meraki.
It's a call to action to shape the future of education together.
So we want to hear from you, listeners. What are your thoughts on Meraki? How are you embracing those ideas in your own learning and teaching?
Head over to our website or social media to share your insights, and let's continue this conversation.
Because at the end of the day, the future of education depends on all of us working together, sharing our knowledge, and supporting each other.
And who knows, maybe we'll even inspire a few more Meraki moments along the way.
And that's a wrap on our deep dive into Meraki, towards transformative learning and teaching in higher education. We hope you've enjoyed the conversation and come away with some food for thought.
As always, thanks for tuning in, and keep those what-if questions coming. So diving back into Gen AI and education, I think the thing that really stood out to me in Meraki is that we can't let fear drive the conversation, you know?
It's easy to get caught up in the robots are taking over narrative.
Right, like it's all doom and gloom.
But Naranci's like, hold on a sec, let's step back and look at the bigger picture.
Exactly, it's not about fearing technology, it's about figuring out how to use it responsibly.
So less AI is gonna steal our jobs, and more, how can AI make our jobs, our lives better?
That's the spirit. And when it comes to education, there's so much potential there.
I mean, think about it. AI could help us personalize learning, provide more targeted feedback, free up teachers to focus on those really meaningful interactions with students.
Exactly. But it all comes back to that idea of responsible use.
Which is what, give me the Cliff's Notes version.
Well, for starters, it's about being transparent with students about how AI is being used.
No sneaky algorithms happening behind the scenes.
Right. It's about having those open conversations, setting clear guidelines, and addressing those ethical concerns head on.
Privacy, data ownership, bias, all that good stuff.
Yeah, we got to make sure we're not just perpetuating existing inequalities with technology.
Leveling the playing field, not tilting it further.
Exactly. And it's also about empowering students to be critical thinkers about AI.
Not just passive consumers of technology, but active participants in shaping how it's used.
Give them the tools to understand how these algorithms work, how to evaluate the information they're getting from AI.
So they can be informed citizens in this increasingly digital world.
Spot on. And, you know, that brings us back to one of Naranci's core messages, the power of collaboration.
Yes. Sharing is caring, right?
More than that, it's essential for progress, especially in education.
Naranci's a big advocate for open educational practices, making those resources accessible to everyone.
It's like, why hoard knowledge when we can share it and create this amazing ripple effect?
It's like that saying, a rising tide lifts all boats.
Love that. And she challenges us to overcome that fear of sharing, you know, that hesitation to let go of our precious materials, our ideas.
It's understandable, right? You put all this time and effort into creating something. It's natural to want to protect it.
I get it. I've been there. But Naranci argues that the benefits of sharing far outweigh the risks.
Sell me on it. Convince me.
Okay, think about it. When we share openly, we create this incredible feedback loop.
Like a continuous cycle of improvement.
Exactly. We learn from each other, we build upon each other's ideas, and ultimately we create a much richer learning experience for everyone.
It's like instead of everyone reinventing the wheel, we're all working together to build a better one.
Precisely. And she offers some really practical tips for getting started with sharing.
Okay, give me the cheat sheet.
Start small. Share a single lesson plan, collaborate with a colleague on a project, join a community of practice.
Baby steps. I like it.
It's about finding your comfort zone and gradually expanding it.
And who knows, maybe along the way, you'll discover that sharing your knowledge is actually more rewarding than keeping it to yourself.
It's about embracing that Meraki spirit, that passion for learning, and that willingness to share it with others.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Meraki, what's the one thing you hope our listeners will take away from this conversation?
I think the biggest takeaway is this. We're at a pivotal moment in education. Technology is rapidly changing the landscape, and it's easy to feel overwhelmed or even threatened by those changes. But Naranci reminds us to focus on the human element. Learning is about connection, curiosity, and growth. And technology, including AI, should be a tool that empowers us to achieve those goals.
Beautifully said. And remember, folks, this book, Meraki, it's an ongoing conversation. Naranci invites everyone to contribute their own ideas and experiences to the second part.
It's a call to action to shape the future of education together.
So if you're feeling inspired, head over to our website or social media, share your thoughts on Meraki. Tell us how you're bringing that spirit to life in your own learning and teaching.
Let's keep this conversation going, because ultimately, the future of education depends on all of us working together, sharing our knowledge, and supporting each other along the way.
And that's a wrap on our deep dive into Meraki, towards transformative learning and teaching in higher education. Thanks for joining us.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep that Meraki spark alive.